video presentation a moment ago, it kind of raises a question, if you think about it, about how we live our lives. And I know that in Memorial Day, we are remembering those who have died in the service of our country, and we're deeply grateful for that ultimate sacrifice, and pray for families who have lost loved ones in combat situations. But it raises for all of us that question of what are we doing with our lives? What kind of person are we, and how are we living our lives day by day? You know, when a service personnel is in the military, they understand rank, don't they? They know that they have leaders, and they follow their leaders. And often they follow their leaders straight into battle. They may follow a leader right into the ultimate sacrifice. But at the end of the day, what matters is that they have made a decision to follow that leader, because everybody knows implicitly, and we know in the military absolutely, that the person you follow, the person out front, makes all the difference in whether you live or die. It makes all the difference in how you live your life. But in our culture, we have developed sort of a complacent attitude about following and who we follow and what we follow. We're sort of loose about our commitments to who we're listening to and who we're following. And in our digital age now, we've even developed a brand new term for following people, often people we don't even know. We just like what they're saying, or we want to stay plugged into to what they're saying through Twitter. And the term is trending. We're following what's trending, meaning we're committed to paying attention to that new tweet over Twitter and the new thing in the digital world, the digital environment. We follow what people say in their blogs, and that's a new term also. I'm following that blog. You didn't hear that several years ago. You could have been put in jail for saying something like that. I'm following that blog. Don't follow that blog. You'd be committed for that. But all these new terms point to a fact that there is so much noise in the digital world, we're not paying a lot of attention to who we follow, are we? We're listening to every voice, and worse, every voice conceivable has a platform now to seek out followers, because there's always somebody out there that'll sign on, that'll listen, and that will follow whatever we say. So this morning, we want to have a challenge in front of us to consider who it is we follow, who it is we listen to. And as we're going to see, the Bible teaches that the decision of who you follow and who you listen to determines the course of your life. In fact, it determines nearly everything else about your life. And we've been 2 weeks out of this series, so this morning we're back in our series, Offline and Unplugged, and just backing away from the digital world and looking at it through a biblical lens. And I want us to consider with that this morning the whole idea of following, who we're paying attention to, who we're listening to. Because if we spend mountains of time online and following Twitter accounts and what people are saying, are those the voices we really want to be listening to? Are those the people we really want to be following? And what decisions are we making in life based on who we're listening to and who we're following? Jesus had a lot to say about that. We're going to read just one passage this morning in which the Lord Jesus hones in on this biblical truth, that who you follow determines the direction of your life. Who you follow determines so much else in your life that you and I, we've got to pay attention to who we're following. Listen to what Jesus says. If you have your Bible, pick it up and find Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And find verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Now, before we read this, let me tell you that this statement by Jesus, this picture of following Christ that he gives, comes immediately after he has been talking with his disciples about who he is and their relationship with him. And where he is going, ultimately, is to his own sacrifice, his own sacrificial death on the cross for the disciples he's talking to and for all people who would come to faith in Christ and who would want to follow him and be his disciples. So he wants to make it crystal clear what it means to be his follower. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. What will it benefit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. I assure you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, Jesus' description of being his follower opens with this statement. He says, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In short, he says, anyone who wants to come with me must not be complacent about their decision, but they must make a singular, life-changing decision. Anyone, Jesus says, anyone who thinks that they want to come with me just because they'll be comfortable or it'll be interesting or they like what I'm saying or I'm popular today, need to step back and pay attention. Because there is a singular, absolute decision, and that decision determines everything else about your life. Jesus put it this way. He said, if anyone wants to come with me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That clarifies the heart of what it means to be a follower of Christ, what it means to come after Christ. He says there's a few actions here you need to pay attention to. One is that you must deny yourself. If anyone wants to come after me, he says, he must deny himself. Jesus is making a distinction between the common churchgoer, the person who likes to just show up, and the committed follower of Christ. And he said the first step of that is deny yourself. And the language means it's a one-time explicit event in which you and I decide that we are no longer going to be selfish about our lives and live a life preferable to us. We are going to follow Christ. Deny yourself doesn't mean you suddenly hate yourself or you're abusive to yourself or you don't care about yourself. Deny yourself doesn't necessarily mean you won't live a good or even comfortable life in this world. But what it does mean is you let God decide your life from that point forward. You get up that day and you say, today I let go of the life Bob Weathers thought he was going to live and I will follow Christ. And the Bible teaches, as Jesus said it, that is a singular decision, an absolute one-time moment in which you and I decide to let go of the old life, the old preferences, my personal agenda, and I will follow Christ. But then he says after that, there are two things you do all the time. And these are phrased as regular, ongoing decisions you make that are attached to the first one of denying yourself. The first of these is that you will regularly, every day, even every moment, take up your cross. Take up your cross. Now remember, he's speaking to people in the first century who were seeing nearly all the time, they would see the Romans crucify people. All around Rome, it's one of the best deterrents they had against crime, was to crucify people. So when he said, take up your cross, the cross was always associated with the horrible reality of crucifixion. To you and I, it would be very similar to Jesus saying, take up your electric chair and follow me. And you and I both know that if somebody takes up their cross, there's a real good chance they're going to get crucified on that cross because they're carrying it around. But there is no more definitive way to identify with Jesus Christ than to carry your cross. Sometimes we say, as believers, we'll say, I have my cross to bear. And by that we might mean a sickness in our lives. By that we might mean an unbelieving spouse. By that we might mean financial problems or difficulties. We associate it with all kinds of things and we say, I have my cross to bear. And while all of those things are real problems and we don't diminish that, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about the person who regularly says, I will so identify myself with Christ, if I need to, if he calls me to, I will die with him. I'll die with him. I will deny myself so much that I will regularly, every day, identify with Jesus Christ, even to the point of his sacrifice on the cross. I will carry my cross as well. And he says, then follow me. Notice Jesus says there's a difference between the person saying, I want to come after you. I want to be religious, Jesus, and learn about Jesus. And the person who says, no, I want to follow Christ. I'll deny myself and I will take up my cross and I will follow Jesus. I no longer make decisions on my own. I make decisions that Jesus tells me to make. I follow Christ. I'm so identified now with my new life in Christ. I have chosen to follow Christ. In this passage, Jesus is pointing out to his disciples and across time to you and me that that decision to follow Christ determines everything else about your life. It determines everything else about your life. And to the person who calls themselves a follower of Christ, I want to challenge us this morning to take a hard look at where we are when we wake up in the morning and we put on our shoes. Do we strap on our cross? Or do we say, God, I'll give you some lip service on Sunday, but the other 6 days are mine, and I'll live as I choose. That's not a person following Christ. That's a person who over here says, I'd like to come along with you, Jesus, now and then when it's convenient for me, and I'd like to do that. And Jesus rejects that outright. He says, no, I'm looking for people who are fully committed to follow Christ, because that's where salvation is. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. You come, take up your cross, daily decide to follow Christ today. Whatever comes your way, whatever he brings your way, you are following Christ. Jesus says, pay attention to the things in your life that will be determined by that decision to follow Christ. In fact, whoever you decide to follow, whoever you're following, these same things are determined by that decision. For instance, who you follow, determines where you find your life. It determines where you find your life. Jesus said, for whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. Here Jesus is speaking to the person who has in the back of their mind, they're thinking, well, I want to live my life, but be called a Christian also. I want to live life my way, and now and then I'll pay lip service to God. I might even occasionally pray to God, and once a week I may dust off the Bible and read because I'm a Christian. But otherwise, I want to hang on to the life that I have made for myself, because that's where I find my life. And to the person who has chosen to follow the voices of the world around them, the person who's chosen to follow the voices of advertising and trending and the emails and the friends at school, the person who has chosen to follow them, where they find their life is determined by that. And they think in their minds that they are finding life in this life, and that everything is good as long as they find the life they want, as long as they live the life they want, and that the world says they should have. Jesus says, when you do that, you have lost your life. Now, wait a minute, why? Because you have let go of, you have released, relinquished, and abandoned the life God has for you. If you want to find your life, live the life God has for you, then you must decide you're not going to live the life the world has for you. You let God determine that. You say, Pastor Bob, that's kind of harsh. Well, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Jesus said, as long as you are trying to protect your perspective of this life, as long as you're following the voices of this world, you are losing your life. Because what you're not living is the life God has for you. If you want to find the life God has for you, then you're going to have to die to self, deny self, take up your cross, follow Christ, and let go of this life. And then you let God decide and determine this life for you. An article in the magazine The Atlantic shared an interview with a 14-year-old girl from New Jersey, Casey. Casey got her first computer when she was 18 months old. It was a toy, but it was still a computer. But she got her first cell phone, the real deal, when she was a second grader. Now, in a study that Casey participated in about addiction to technology, listen to what she said. She talked about her addiction to technology and social media, and here's some of the things she said. She said, I bring my iPhone everywhere. She said, I have to be holding it. It's like OCD to me. I have to have it with me, and I check it all the time. And she said, it's not like I want to go on Facebook or I don't want to go on Facebook. I just go on Facebook. She said, it's like I'm forced to, and I don't know why. And then she said, and Facebook takes up my whole life. And she said, if I'm not watching TV, I'm on my phone. And if I'm not on my phone, I'm on my computer. And if I'm not doing any of those things, she says, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. She says, so I don't put down my phone. And that makes me wish I did. And then she says, 14 years old, it's so addicting to me. She goes on and talks about how her addiction to technology and the digital world has affected her friendships and relationships. Let me just give you one example. She said, there was a friend of ours who wasn't in the group chat, and she's talking about online and on Facebook. She wasn't in the group chat, so we stopped being friends with her at school. It wasn't because we didn't like her, but because we weren't in contact with her. Now, wait a minute. They saw her every day at school. But no, they weren't in contact with her online. That friend, she says, well, that friend, now she has a smartphone, and that's what gets her back into the group. Now, we always loved her, and she was always a good friend, but she was excluded, and she knew it because she didn't have an iPhone. Who's leading your life? Who are you following? Who are you listening to? Who are you letting determine where you find your life? Because if it's all about this world, it's not about Jesus Christ. So the decision you make of who you will follow determines where you find your life. The decision you make of who you follow also determines what you gain in life. What you gain in life. Jesus said, "What will it benefit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life?" Very pointedly, Jesus is saying, you and I can be so absorbed in the pursuits of this life and think that we're Christians, we have so missed the point. All we're doing is accumulating the material possessions of this life, and we are lost and have no relationship with Christ. Jesus said elsewhere, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. It's impossible. And you and I have to make a decision who we're going to follow, who we're going to serve. And Jesus means by this, if we are investing ourselves in every materialism, every aspect of this life, we're losing ourselves to it. We're giving ourselves away and giving our life away to this life and what the world says we must buy, we must have, we must be. And Jesus says, you want to know who you really are, and you really want the life that God intends for you, and you want eternal life that God intends for you, come and follow Christ. Come and follow Christ. Following Christ determines that you have a relationship with God in Christ. You have laid down everything else and said, God, I want to take up my cross and follow Christ. And Christ alone. Christ then determines what you have in this life, who you are in this life, how you live in this life. But he decides and he gives back to you the life that he intends for you to live. The question is, for you and I, are we following the trends of this world that tell us buy more, get more, do more, be popular, be with the in crowd? Are we following that trend or are we following Christ? And letting Christ decide who we are, what we have, and how we live. And that leads me to the third decision, the third thing that's determined by our decision of who we follow. Who we choose to follow, who we decide to follow, determines how we live. It determines how we live. Listen to what Jesus says. This is a staggering statement. Pay attention to this. Verse 27, "For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will reward each according to what He has done." Jesus has said all this, that He's going to the cross, and then He says in the passage we read this morning, if you want to follow Christ, you've got to take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Christ. Don't invest everything in the thoughts and the mindset of this world, but invest everything in what God thinks. Get your life from Him. And then He says, because someday, one day, you and I, we're going to be held accountable for how we live this life. One day, you and I are going to stand before Almighty God when Christ returns, and we've been calling ourselves Christians all these years, and we're going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account, a record, a report of how we lived. Because you see, folks, today, who you decide to follow determines how you live. It determines the choices you make, the friends you have, the things you read, who you spend your time with. Who you decide to follow determines how you live your life today. And it determines your generosity, your sacrifice, your compassion. See, Jesus is teaching to believers, to disciples, to those who say, come and follow me, those who say, yes, I want to follow Christ. Jesus is saying, one day there will be a judgment, an accounting. And listen, unbelievers will be judged for their sin because they are lost. But believers, He says right here, we'll give an accounting for what they do, for their deeds, for their works in Christ. And we'll give an account for how we lived for Christ. That's a staggering thing to consider, isn't it? But it asks that question again, who are you living for? And when you stand before God, and He gives an account, you give an account of how you lived, and He reveals how you lived. Will your deeds in this life demonstrate that when you raised your hand to answer the call and to follow Christ, you lived for Christ? Maybe not perfectly. Maybe not everything was great. Maybe you missed some opportunities God had for you, but you weren't out there living for yourself. You were living for Christ, and He was opening doors for you and growing you in your faith. And your deeds in this life demonstrate it. In the late 1980s, Kim and I were living in Texas. Caitlin had not come along yet, and we were wrapping up a semester of education, semester of graduate school, and it was in that week right when final exams are about to hit, and we were in our little rented house, and one of those big Texas storms comes up just from nowhere. There's an old saying in Texas, if you don't like the weather, just wait a minute. And a big Texas storm comes blasting through, and it's nighttime, and Kim is in the little room across the hallway that we use for our computer room, and she's frantically writing the last paper she has to turn in for that semester. And I'm across the hall standing at the mirror in the bathroom brushing my teeth, and we're listening to the thunder and the lightning crash. And just then, I turned to her, and I said, "Honey, have you saved your work?" And she said, "I'm about to." And as if on cue, the power went off. And the power stayed off for 3 days. We studied for exams by candlelight and borrowed lanterns, not knowing at all what had happened to the research paper she had worked so hard on up to the moment the power went off. Now, let me pause here. For those that are the uninitiated of the 1980s and what computers were like, we didn't have a hard drive. Okay? Had these things called floppy disks. Can I get an amen? For 3 days, we had no idea what had happened to that paper. Finally, the power came back on, the computer booted up, the floppy disk drive came out. And we were suddenly at that moment blessed by a little thing Bill Gates invented called an emergency save. At least that's what I call it. That when the power goes off, whatever is at work is immediately written and saved. And we were delighted to find that her work had been saved. Now, folks, listen to me. You and I are saved in Christ by our faith in Christ. Come and follow Christ means put all your faith and trust in Christ, and He will save you from your sins and give you the eternal life He wants you to have. We are saved by grace through faith and not by our works, but our works are saved. They are saved on the hard drive of heaven. So one day you will stand before God and God will reveal to you and you will report to God the works of this life. And may we all be able to stand before God and say, I am delighted my deeds were saved. I am delighted you remember what I've done, God. I am delighted to stand before you because you can say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. You weren't perfect, Bob Weathers, but when you said, I will come and follow Christ, you meant it. You meant it. And your works demonstrate it. Folks, that's the question we've got to answer for ourselves. Do we live? And how we live, does it show that we are following Christ? Or are we following every other voice in this world and neglecting to follow Christ? Will you bow your heads with me? Oh, gracious God and Father, you are so good to us. You are so gracious to us. You are so kind to us, God. And you never soft sell the truth for us, Father, and we're thankful for that. There is no question what you expect. God, how I pray you would forgive us for even a moment thinking that we can give lip service to the things of God and to being a Christ follower. Forgive us for that, God. And instead today, God, I pray you would deal with us in the depth of our heart, Father. And if there's just one in here, God, who has said, I pretended to answer the call to follow Christ, but I haven't followed Christ. If there's one in here who would say, God, I've never made that decision to follow Christ. If there's just one in here, God, who needs to move today and to bow to you and to come and to follow Christ, I pray, God, you would move in our midst today, that we would come and earnestly and honestly lay down our works and come and follow Christ. Father, how I pray for believers in here, how I pray for those in here who have never received Christ as their Savior, how I pray for the hurting, how I pray for the wounded, God, how I pray for the brokenhearted today. I pray for all of us, Father, that you would move in our midst by your will, God. If there's just one decision that needs to be made, one commitment that needs to be made, one person needs to come and start over with you today, God, how I pray in this time of decision, we would move in faith. We would step forward, God. We would come to the altar. We would seek your face today. Because, God, that's all that matters. Father, may we answer the call to come and follow Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Stand with me.